Blog Talk Radio.
Emotional development, relationships, experiences, environment, and genetics all take a hand in molding the poet we are today. Welcome to Double Helix, where we examine the X's and Y's on a show celebrating the human experience, where your true colors are what ties the room together. comfortable, because what you're about to hear is the poetry that we are made of. This is Double Helix, part of Late Night Poets on Blog Talk Radio. We are a group on allpoetry.com. You don't have to be in the group to participate, but it's more fun if you are. You can chat with us and read the poems along with us. I'm Afasiana, and with me I have Daniel Deschino. And Daniel, can you please introduce our special guest?
Absolutely. Fazy, I miss you. I haven't got to talk to you in a long time, and it's so great to talk to you again. Everything good with life? You doing okay?
Crazy busy, but yes, you know, work during the week, and then camping,
yes,
completely unplugged every weekend, so it's hard to get a hold of me, I know.
No, that's okay. That's good. Hey, you know, that's life security. I'd say job security, but that's life security. Being busy is good. And yes, we have a very special guest I'm extremely excited about. So we have Ainsley McGray is with us. And for those of you who don't know Ainsley, that was one of her songs, Warrior, which just sounds so killer. I love that tune. Mam Yah said that on the board as well. Mam Yah, thanks for joining us on the board. She said, what a great voice. And Ainsley has such an amazing voice. That was her singing. That was her playing piano and some of the keyboards and I think some other stuff. She composed all the music as well as produced it. She is basically an American singer, songwriter, composer, multi-instrumentalist who lives in Frederick, Maryland right now. She's classically trained and has been fixated on music her whole life with all kinds of different artists from the 90s especially, you know, Tori Amos, Rage Against the Machine, Nirvana, all the bands. She's been influenced by everybody. She released her first album in 2018, a mainstream album called Dream Again, which most of the prompts tonight and the songs, including that one, Warrior, is on. And that earned her a nominee spot in the Maryland Music Awards for the Best New Artist. Upon her release, unfortunately, she fell ill and she was unable to do like a full tour and really promote it. But I'm excited to see her back. She's actually back getting on the wagon again and trying to take off and promote her album and move forward. And I'm very excited to say that she's starting that here tonight. This is part of her comeback right here, is getting back into her music, coming on our humble little show, which, again, I'm very excited about. She's a super nice person, and I've had the pleasure of speaking to her a couple of times. And I think she is on tonight. Ainsley, are you here with us?
I am, and I'm so excited to be here tonight. Thanks for that great introduction.
Absolutely. No, thanks for the great music. Like I said, I've been a fan of yours for a little while and was so excited when, you know, I reached out to you and you, you know, we spoke on the phone and we talked about doing a show. You totally honor us, and we got a great response to your music, absolutely. So we got a lot of poetry and music to do tonight, but do you want to tell us a little bit about the song Warrior and maybe a little bit about what you're doing now towards, you know, moving your career forward and playing music? You're recording, you're going to tour, what's going on with your life? And, again, tell us a little bit about the song Warrior as well.
So I think, you know, Warrior is one of those songs about recovering from hardship, not to be too specific, but I think it's something that we can all sort of relate to. And it's funny now, and I haven't really listened to that. I haven't listened to the songs on the album that much the past couple of years. I've had other stuff on my mind, and I think, I mean, for everybody who writes poetry and art, sometimes it can have certain feelings when you hear it, and maybe those feelings aren't the best thing for you. So I was healing, you know, I tried not to fixate too much on what I had done. But it's funny to hear it now because I think it's even harder now in some ways to, maybe not harder, but like it was definitely tough to not be able to see the album through.
Okay.
So coming back into it, I've written new music and I'm changed, you know, I think experiences change you. So, but at the same time, that song still is true. You know, you still have to prevail against things in life. So it's like, I was hearing it and I was like, yeah, I thought one thing when I was singing that song and now it means something completely different, you know?
yeah, absolutely.
But yeah.
That's all art.
It's really,
that's art.
I had read one poem that was written on Warrior that was just going to be read tonight. And I was like, wow, this person really got what I was saying. Sometimes what appears to be good in your life becomes what can destroy you. And so sometimes, you know, it's it's funny now, but I'd say sometimes actually you have to overcome maybe even what you want. It's not what it actually seems. But yeah, the song was just about like you get kind of fooled by something. You think that it's one thing, but it's actually something else, and it can end in your own demise. And talking on that one.
No, that's okay. No, absolutely. That's so great. And Mamia on the board said it's an empowerment anthem, and I agree with that as well, too. I'll give you my compliment to the song is I actually didn't know what it was about for the first maybe 10 times I listened to it because I didn't even listen to the lyrics. I was so enthralled by the music itself. And then I listened to the lyrics, and I was like, okay, I get it. I get this now. But the music, just the tonality and the power of the music is just amazing to me as well, too. So awesome song, and I appreciate that. And we have, like you said, we had some people write some great stuff to it. So, Faziana, we have a lot of poetry tonight, so why don't we get started? And we had some songs written to the opening song, I think. I mean, some poetry, excuse me, written to the opening song. Is that right?
We have one poem that's specifically to that one, yes. And okay. I put that one up first. That's called Warrior, and it's by Sheila Simplified. So I'll read that. I am
awesome.
A warrior. I am a warrior, coming from the smoke not burned by the heat. From ashes I rise as the enemy of defeat. Unauthorized touches by wolves in sheep clothing. Nightmare visuals of the truth unfolding. Vultures buzzing at a steady pace. A lion's roar with a lamb's face. The chain of your bondage was too weak to hold me down. I screamed the sonic barrier, broke the fall of the sound. I am warrior. I am a warrior. You smelled my wounds and pulled me in. I moved too close, but I was younger then. Out of your stronghold, I emerged. On a voltage high, my power surged. Moonlit night shows the glow of my armor and my will to fight. Unstoppable warriors, it's time to unite. I am a warrior. I am a warrior. End poem.
Awesome read, Faizy. And this one reminded me of you. I could just see you at your, the mock battles that you go to, and this could be your theme as well. I thought this was great. I thought this is such a great take. You know, we have you probably don't know this, Andy, but one of the shows that Late Night Poets has is on Sunday nights, which is basically based on music. They take a lot of popular music, and we write poetry based on that. And sometimes it's not parodies, but tributes to songs. And that's how this is great on this because it's not really using the lyrics, but it kind of is. I am a warrior. It's using, but it's really their version of your song, which I thought was fantastic. Now that
I
line
loved it.
In the middle,
I absolutely loved it. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, no.
I felt like somebody
got
in my mind when I read that this morning. I was really excited about it. It was really good.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. I mean, that's it's always great, you know, when you're an artist and people actually getting, you know, what you're saying. So I like that in the middle here where it says I am warrior, I am a warrior. Don't know if that's a typo, but if it is, keep it because I really like it, Sheila. I like I am warrior. I just love that line. So like I said, if you meant to put I am a warrior, leave it, is my opinion. I think it's great. And I like how it's at the end, unstoppable warriors, it's time to unite. And I think she used a lot of your lyrics and just kind of changed them and put them personally. She used the, where was it here? Oh, a lion's roar at the lamb's face, where I think you say something like there was a lion dressed as a lamb. And then you use the phrase unstoppable warriors too. So she just did such a great job of kind of taking the feeling of the song and kind of making it her own, which is, I think an awesome tribute. As you were just saying, right. Ainsley, anything else to say on it?
That's right. And I'm actually looking for the poem, and I can't find it. So
that's okay. It's on. You can click on. I know you're brand new to the site. You can click on the link that's in the chat, or if you're on that, what I showed you before. It's actually the very last one. So scroll all the way down to the bottom, and you will see the very last poem listed. If you're on the list of poems I showed you before.
Okay.
In the group chat where you said hello, I'm posting the links as we do the poems, so you should be able to follow along with, I'm going to post them as we go.
Yeah, so in the group chat, you can also click on the poem, as Faziana said, and get the link to the poem right there as well.
Okay, well, I just, like, got out of where I was, so it's going to take me a minute to get back into it.
Okay.
I was looking for the poem because there were a couple parts of the poem I actually wanted to comment on, and I remember where everything was. Okay, so yeah.
I'll put it to you in the chat here, and I'll put it on Instagram so you can find it places. Faziana, while she's looking for it, do you want to comment?
I'll post it here as well for you.
Oh, you did? Okay, go for it.
I went back to like what I read this morning, but I was really shocked by how she interpreted it because I didn't say much when you asked me at the beginning of this about it, how I initially wrote it, but it is about being tricked. You know, there once was a lion dressed as a lamb, and she said, you know, a lion's roar with a lamb's face, and she had... When I read through this poem, I felt like I had had a conversation with her, and she, you know, so she really picked up on exactly what I was saying, and she said it, I think, better than I did. So I was like, I'd like to, you know, maybe call her and have her rewrite the lyrics for the song, because it might be, you know, I thought she said it better than I did. So from ashes I rise, oh, the enemy is defeat, and I thought it was a really, really well-written poem that it looks like it came out of my head, but it was better written. So, yeah.
Well, now that's a compliment. There you go. If you get the artist saying that somebody did a better version.
You filled my mood. You pulled me in. That's really I love that line. That's a really good line.
Excellent. You hear that, Sheila? If you're listening, you get a job as a lyricist out there. So.
Yes, I'll hire you.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Ainsley. All right, so Faizy, what are your thoughts on that?
I liked it. I thought it had some steady rhyming. I really liked the part, I screamed the sonic barrier, broke the fall of the sound. I can just, feel the sonic barrier breaking and just imagine, like, the kind of, like, waves of sound coming from the scream. And then I also liked, on a voltage high, my power surged. I mean, there's so much energy within this, in the way that she describes it. The voltage high kind of makes me think of a little bit like manic, too. It's like you're too high on the spectrum, and it's just, like, overwhelming, but you're so powerful in that moment, just having that warrior sense. I thought this was great, and like you said, used the lion's roar, lamb's face, like, so much in here is reinterpreted from the song and put in its own words. I thought she did a wonderful job.
Absolutely. It's kind of inspiring, actually. So, all right, cool. Let's keep going. We have lots of good, great poetry to talk about tonight. So where are we going now? Are we going to a prompt?
Yes. So we're doing prompt one, which is, some days our shadows are our only friends. Days, it seems, rainbows will not come again, which was from the song The Sun Will Rise. So we had quite a few people who wrote to that one. And the first one is by SSM. So I have posted that. Daniel, if you're willing to read that, go ahead.
I am always willing for whatever you want. Did you want to say anything first, Ainsley, on that prompt at all?
About what it meant to me?
Yeah, anything you want to say about the meaning of the prompt?
So that song, I actually, personally.
Sure. Whatever you want to say.
Okay, I wrote that song after going through a really pretty riveting medical situation. I had a stroke, and it was about 10 years ago. And
wow.
it goes into a song, it's The Sun Will Rise Again. And I actually lost a lot of my eyesight, and I didn't regain it. And I had to learn how to do things over. I had written like a really lame love song that started with that line a few years before that happened. And I somehow the song ended up kind of morphing into something that was really inspirational for me. It turned into a song. It's called The Sun Will Rise, but before the sun rises, you know, it can be so dark you don't think it's ever going to again, and it can feel, you know, and I was saying this to a friend recently, you know, a lot of times when we're walking through that tunnel, you know, you just have to keep going. Even when it's dark, you have to keep going before it's, you know, it will change, but you can't give up. So I don't know. It was just,
yeah.
I was thinking about a lot of times you get so stuck in darkness, it really becomes your only friend and the place that you live. And, the song actually ends on a hopeful note. It's just, I think that line is something that we all have felt, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's all I have to say about that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I love that. That's great. I appreciate it. All right, cool. So let's read that first. Let's read the first one, which is by SSM, called Black or White. Life is never black, oh, black or white. Glorious in all shades gray and bright. You might think you are good or bad. One breaking point can change this sight. Life is never black, oh, black or white. Fairy tales are true, but so are the things of night. Sometimes you can be weak, even with all strength and might. Life is never black, oh, black or white. There are monsters that roam in the recesses of every mind. Even when you claim heroism can be your birthright, life is never black, oh, black or white. You claim to be true of heart, but truth has its own spikes. World can be heartless, accept it with all its vials. Life is never black, oh, black or white. No one is ideal, doesn't mean things can't be right. Hold on to principles, even in a lost fight. Life is never black, oh, black or white. Life is never black, oh, black or white. Glorious in all shades gray and blight. Bright, life is never black, oh, black or white. End poem.
Thank you for reading, Dan. And this feels like it really would go well with my other show that I host, which is called Part Sinner, Part Saint. And it's very much about how nothing is black and white. Usually that show, we have kind of the dark side and the light side of whatever subject. And this seems like it gets into that where it's saying, you know, nothing is pure darkness. And nothing is pure goodness. There's always that in between, and I think that works with the prompt because the prompt is talking about shadows. And the thing is, a shadow can't exist if there's no light. Because as much as it's the dark spot behind you that's following you, that's always there. It is a dark spot as compared to the light. And you need light to create a shadow. So it kind of puts you in between. The shades of gray can be darker or brighter, depending on the situation. But you're somewhere in the middle there. I like that it says sometimes you can be weak even with all the strength and might. And I remember feeling that really complicated kind of conundrum in terms of both physically and metaphorically. Like you, Ainsley, I was very sick for a while. I had a brain tumor and actually was on my optic nerve, so literally light was a problem. But also, it was like, you know, you everyone kept telling me, you're so strong, and I did not feel strong at all. I felt so weak and helpless. And some days I might be mentally strong but physically weak, and sometimes I was physically stronger and mentally weak, and you can be both at the same time. So I like when things can capture that. As much as I'm projecting myself into this, it can, I think people can put their own kind of twist on things. I like the repetition throughout it. You know, sometimes repetition works and sometimes it doesn't, and I kind of liked the way that it worked here, and it felt like it could be musical too. I'm not quite sure what tune I would do to, but like, it's not just black or white. It's black, black or white. I don't know how to do it. Ainsley could probably make something out of that. But like, it feels like that line that repeats could be some kind of chorus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Ainsley?
I was just looking at the O part because I've been listening to a lot of Wayne Dyer. And he talks about, like, different sounds in nature. It actually might even be better musically because you can break up the O in, like, four different notes, you know, and make it this beautiful. Yeah, it would – I think you were right. I think that would work. And one of the lines I really liked was, there are monsters that roam in the recesses of every mind. That was one where I was like, yes, that's so true. It had some really good lines in it, but it wouldn't be good to music.
Yeah, I love that line as well, and I agree. I think this is totally musical. I'm sorry, SSM, I can't sing. Should have had Ainsley into this one, but she could have sang it. But this was written as a song.
You know, if it's like broken up like that, it could sound really cool. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. Yeah, absolutely. Please interrupt me and sing whatever you want. I think it is one of the I read a bunch of these poems ahead of time, and one of the themes I saw was musical, which, you know, would be obvious coming, you know, with a prompt like Ainsley's music. And I think a lot of people really got into the songs and adapted it, because I'm seeing a lot of musical type, lyrical type poems. A lot of times, Ainsley, we actually get a lot of free verse, which isn't necessarily rhyming or musical. But in this one, I'm seeing a lot like this. So I'm sure this is, or at least my feeling, that SSM wrote this as lyrics. And I think it works great like that. And I, too, like that. There are monsters that roam in the recesses of every mind. It's a great line. That's a great line. That could make a great prompt for itself, for its own contest as well. So, awesome job, SSM. Great job. And, yeah, let's keep going. What do we want to do now?
So now we have one by Stelina, and Stelina was so kind as to make us an audio recording, so I'm going to play it in her own voice.
Amid the shadows, I wander in night's ebony embrace, searching in vain for a glimmer of muted color, longing to trace my fingers over your cherished face. Yet my world is doused in tears of desperation and dolor. Shadows of the past, come sing to me of halcyon days when love spoke true. I welcome those shady silhouettes of a misty memory, for they are fragments of all I have left of you. They taunt me mercilessly, yet there is solace in their presence, rendering cold comfort to my aching heart, each of them imbibing a scintilla of your essence, weaving silken threads to bind me as I fall apart. Melancholic notes create a symphony of pain as with fruitless longing I waltz to a woeful tune. My heartbreak, remnants of a haunting refrain, while alone I lament in the land of the moon. Will the sun ever rise upon my sorrow? Will a rainbow shimmer in the wake of rain? Will there ever come again a rose-colored tomorrow? Will I ever feel alive again?
Awesome, Stelena. Thanks for the sound call. We always appreciate that, and great music behind there. Yeah, this is, you know, very personal, very emotive. And I had to look up dollar. I didn't know that word, and it just means which everybody else probably knew it, I'm assuming, but it just means a great state of sorrow and distress. So I can see where that was here. And I do like where she's going with this. You know, I can feel this. And I think Angelica, you know, mentioned before that we all go through certain things. We all have thoughts. And for this, you know, we've all been through these type of thoughts. And what I really liked is the end. And if you are through any kind of desperation, any kind of dollar, you know, you have, will the sun ever rise upon my sorrow? Will a rainbow ever shimmer in the wake of rain? You start questioning things. Am I ever going to be happy? Am I ever going to get through this? You know, how am I ever going to survive? You start questioning yourself. So I really like that at the end. And I don't know, another thing I really like, and I don't know if this is on purpose, but the shadows of the past come sing to me of halcyon days when love spoke true. Now, Ainsley has a song called, my space in the name, I actually really like the song, but it has the word halcyon in it, Flight of the Halcyon, that's what it is. She has an instrumental on her album, Flight of the Halcyon, so I have to think that was inspired by that Delina actually heard that song and put that in there, because I don't know, it'd be a weird coincidence, but hey, you know, there are coincidences. Mm-hmm. So I thought this was just really beautiful, and this actually won the gold for this contest, which I'm sure means that you really liked it, Ainsley.
Mm-hmm. I did.
What were your thoughts? Yeah. What'd you think? What are your thoughts on it?
I was making sure I'm looking at the right one. This is Shadows of the Past.
Yes, correct.
Okay. I always have a harder time when somebody says, like, you know, I don't know, says it. If I'm looking at it, I feel like I have a better idea. I absolutely loved this. And I read it, well, I think I read it a few times this morning. I'm just looking at, I like literally wrote down some of the quotations that I like so much. But let's see. I'm trying to find them in the poem.
Okay.
So I welcome those shady silhouettes of a misty memory, for they are fragments of all I have left of you. So I don't know. When I was reading this morning, I was literally like, tearing up. That there were just some ways that. And who wrote this? This is by Stelena.
Stelena, yeah, she's a regular on Late Night Poets, great poet.
The way that she kind of captures the feeling, I felt like, oh my gosh, you know, I welcome these shady silhouettes of a misty memory, for they are fragments of all I have left of you. So it's like she's just holding on to these, you know, it sounds like they're dark, they're not like even maybe good memories, but it's all that she has left of that person, and I don't know. I felt like I could just really identify with it. And she said, weaving silken threads to bind me as I fall apart. I just feel like the way that she sews words together is so beautiful and super moving to me, at least personally. And then she had, where's the heartbreak part? I'm looking for it. Actually, maybe somebody else talk and let me find the next part.
Yeah, it's the second to last stanza, I think. My heartbreak, remnants of a haunting refrain. While
there
alone,
you go,
I lament.
Yes.
That one.
Yeah, my heartbreak, remnants of a haunting refrain. while alone I lament in the land of the moon. I mean, just the way that she's, you know, the land of the moon, like what a great way of saying, like, you're, you know, it's nighttime and you're by yourself, you know. I don't know. I just thought she had a beautiful way of putting it, putting the words together. I thought she was so talented. I'd love to hear more from her.
Yeah, no, it's a great comment. If you go on her profile, you can see all kinds of she's got all her poems on there, so definitely check them out. Great comment. Thank you. And Faziana, what'd you think of this one?
I love Selena, and I really appreciate that she makes us audios. It's really great to hear it in her own voice. And especially because she has an accent, I like to hear the rhymes within while she's speaking, because sometimes when an accent is different than your own, the rhymes don't quite fit, although actually I find her rhymes very easy to read as well. I thought she did a wonderful job with her vocabulary. I mean, you already pointed out some of the words, Dan, like the dollar and halcyon, and then scintilla. I really liked that. She has just wonderful vocabulary. She also uses a lot of alliteration. For example, desperation and dollar, shady silhouette, misty memory. There was a whole bunch of places where it just happened that two words together had similar sounds, or at least the first same letter, and that made it flow better, in my opinion. Plus, it wasn't like crazy where like every single word in the line was like that, where it's overwhelming and distracting. It was just subtly in there. And not necessarily at the end of a line. It just was mixed in. I thought that was really skillful in the way that she incorporated that. She just has a beautiful elegance to the way that she writes. She's very eloquent. I like that at the end, it's questions. And questions she's asking herself, questions the reader can ponder, and somehow just having it end in questions makes the poem live on after it's done, because we're still left contemplating it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't notice that, but you're right. Like, so that line, lament in the land, there's some alliteration, but it's just so subtly in there. That's a great point. Cool. All right, Selena, thank you so much. So we're off to now there, Captain.
Now we are going to do In a Carousel Color, and Ainsley, would you like to read with us?
Yes, I'm looking for it. I'm on a different page,
Lord.
Because for wherever I'm on,
you know what?
Or whatever I'm on, it's like it's not getting, I'm not getting
yeah,
to
you,
the
you, you know what's weird? I just clicked on the poem, and it says this has been deleted.
Yes,
what?
I got the
I can't
same
get to
message.
It.
Okay. I'm going to put the new one up. Dan, can you please send Ainsley the page, like the main Late Night Poets page?
So I'm on two different ones, but this one, the last thing that was uploaded was black or white.
Yeah, you have to refresh it on the top. Just hit the refresh button. And you'll come. That's okay. It's a huge deal that you actually joined to come on here and be able to make it. It makes it so much easier. I'll send it to you anyway, but if you hit the refresh, do you see New Dawn by Raven?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent.
Looks like that
if you want,
page requires you to confirm your age.
Oh, it must be, it's written down as adult, must have some mature content.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, go ahead if you want to read that one, New Dawn. If you can get in, that would be great.
Right. See if I can get in. Okay. Okay. This isn't That Grin. That's not the name of this poem, right?
No, it's New Dawn.
Just, huh? something just happened. So when I submitted my year, I was like that I was born.
Do you want to check your Do you want to check your messages? Just go onto your click on the little bubble icon on the top. It should say one, and I just sent you the whole poem.
Looks like your profile is set to hide adult items. You can edit this in profile edit.
Oh, okay.
Okay. For some reason, this Aisley is like the one poem they're not letting me read.
That's okay. If you go up to the very top where there's a chat bubble on the very top of your screen, if you click on that, I just sent you the whole poem.
Okay. I clicked on that, and where is the last message that you sent me? Yeah, this is, like, I'm not sure. I clicked
that's
on
okay.
you, but...
that's good. Maybe, do you want to give this one a read, Faziana, and then we'll try the next one with Ainsley?
Yes. One second.
Okay. Yeah, no worries, Ainsley.
Okay.
Okay. Here we are. New Dawn by Raven Poems. Oh, rejuvenate me, my apple tree. Fall closer to me under the guiding moonlight, where your spectral stare captivates me free. Your phantasmal hand from its lonesome sight. On to my beating heart, let the blood that flows into my animated corpse fill you like a wine glass, a shattering lullaby of the song that blows on the wind's chilling breath, tuned to a farce, which holds your spirit within an urn I cannot bear. The pale moonlight on your skin, gone with its whim. As the morning sun ignites blazing truth upon my care, so I avert mine eyes until I see has returned dim, where you belong with me, a ghastly memory. End poem.
Awesome read, as always. Thank you. And don't worry about technical stuff, Ainsley. You're brand new on the site, so I appreciate you being on. These things happen. These things happen to all of us all the time. If you listen to the show. But I thought this was. I thought this was. Yeah, absolutely. I also just gave it to you. If you want to go on your Instagram real quick, I just threw the whole poem in the chat there.
I just pulled it up, so I've got it.
Perfect. So I thought this was just interesting from beginning to end. Oh, rejuvenate me, my apple tree. Fall closer to me under the guiding moonlight. Your spectral stare captivates me. Whether you're religious or not, I don't know if this is made to be religious. Whether religious or not, I'm not really religious, I love philosophy. I love the philosophy of religions. And rejuvenate apple tree, fall closer to me under the guiding moonlight. To me, that's almost like an apple, like Adam and Eve of kind of, you know, giving me the knowledge that I need under the guiding moonlight. I thought that was really interesting. But then onto my beating heart, let the blood that flows into my animated corpse fill you like a wine glass. That's such a haunting vision. Talking to yourself as an animated corpse, but giving your whole self to this person in like a wine glass where they drink you in. I mean, I thought this entire poem was just filled with, you know, really well done imagery, and it's very deep and dark, but also almost loving at the same time in a strange way. The way that she wrote that, and then where you belong to me, a ghastly memory is really, really interesting and haunting as well too. So yeah, great job, Raven Poems. I haven't really read your stuff before, but I'm following you right now so I can continue to read. Very, very cool, Ainsley. What did you think?
I was just listening to what you were saying, but at the same line, actually, that you just said was one that kind of grabbed my attention was, let the blood that flows into my animated corpse fill you like a wine glass. I read that, I was reading that today, too, like this morning, and it kind of like stayed in my stream of consciousness all day. I thought, too, there was a lot that was alluding to, like a religion or faith. You know, it's a really spiritual poem, and I don't know, there were certain parts that I just thought was, I thought were really, I don't know, maybe, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, the last line, where you belong with me, a ghastly memory. You know, this too, I think, it, you know, it's, there's a lot about, like, maybe a relationship that's sort of gone bad, you know? So, yeah, I, let me talk at the end, actually, because I,
I'm still
thinking about it, because it just got read again, and I want to say something at the end.
sure, no problem. Hey, everybody, unfortunately, can relate to those relationships gone bad, so it's always a good topic. And you got to read it, Faziana, what do you think?
For the apple tree, I did think sort of religious again, but not Christian. I thought of the Norse gods because, I'm going to say this wrong, Iwin, in the Poetic Eddas of Norse mythology, is a goddess who has apples that provide youth. And she goes around with these golden apples and gives them to the gods and goddesses to rejuvenate them so they're immortal. So when I read, oh, rejuvenate me, my apple tree, I kind of thought of that, where the apples kind of bring them back to life and make them immortal, which kind of works with the into my animated corpse, because if she had gone too long without those apples, then she's starting to become mortal and doesn't feel quite right. Now, mind you, I'm just really fascinated by Norse mythology, so I just might be throwing that in there when that was not at all what Raven Poems was thinking about, but that's where my mind went. And again, I really was impressed with vocabulary. Like, I love the word phantasmal. There's just, it's fun to say, phantasmal. I like it. and I get very amused by the sounds of words. I also really enjoyed, now where is this, a shattering lullaby, because lullabies are usually very soothing. They put you together, they ground you, they are calming. So shattering, being associated with a lullaby, is just, it's like an oxymoron. It's the opposite of a lullaby. So if when you're trying to fall asleep, instead of someone lulling you, they're scaring you, they're breaking you apart, they're shattering, that line really took me off guard. I mean, by day, I'm a children's librarian, and so lullabies are something I'm pretty familiar with, and shattering is definitely not something I put with that. And so this just, I really loved that line. It made me think.
I was waiting for you to just say, by day I'm a children's librarian, by night I'm a poet superhero or something like that. I was waiting for you to break into that. But yeah, can you tell?
She was a librarian by day. I could be Barbara Gordon.
There you go. Absolutely. You know, I can always, after you speak of Faziana, I can always tell you're a librarian just by the knowledge you have and the words, the way you understand words and stuff. You are always smarter than me, which I always like. So cool. Did you want to make another comment, Ainsley?
I'm looking at it. I do think it's really beautifully written and put together. And I did like the word phantasmal as well. I kind of agree with you on that. Maybe not. Maybe I don't have anything too riveting to say in addition to that. But I thought it was really well done.
Excellent. All right. Cool. So I think we'll go on to the next one. And are you able to, let's see if we posted that one yet. I don't know if you're able to see that one. I think it's going to be I Am Warrior by Little 20. Is that right?
Perfect. Yes. Yay.
Is that the one we're going to do, Fazy?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. If you see that one, if you want to give that a read.
Me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Sorry,
okay. So, I am a warrior. Going through the shadows of life, I will not fear the tempest and the harsh blowing wind. I will not fear the rain and the dark shadows in the mist. It will be replaced by a love scene of fields of green grass as children run and play and sing, and bellowing a warming laughter to be heard for miles. The warrior is not a quitter. She softly plays her song of lyrics. The sun will shine again.
Excellent read. I will not feel the rain, dark shadows, and the mist will be replaced by a love scene of fields of green grass as childs play and run and sing. I'm probably going to take Aphasiata's thunder. I have a feeling she really liked that line. A warrior, I mean, this is just a great little brevity that I think is very, very hopeful, full of hope and full of inspiration. You know, a warrior is not a quitter. She softly plays her song of lyrics. The sun
mm-hmm.
will shine again. How great is that, that she fit all that in? She's understanding the lyrics, I think, that you have by saying a warrior is not a
mm-hmm.
quitter, and then talking about you playing your song, but then also the sun will shine again, that the song is that the lyric, the prompt was actually from that song. So she was
mm-hmm.
able to fit in a lot of things from your prompts, I thought was really, really cool. I thought it was great. Faizy, let's go to you first. What's your thoughts?
All right. I did love the line that you said I was going to, a love scene of fields of green grass as children run and play and sing. Part of why I love that is because when it says a love scene, it doesn't mean romantic love necessarily. It's talking about like children playing in the grass and singing and the laughter. It's a love scene in the sense it's like family love. It's a scene that you love. It's that feeling of home and happiness I really love that love scene isn't necessarily it's only associated with romance. I like that it has a broader sense because there are so many different types of love. And I've never seen it used like that. And I really like the concept of it being, you know, family love. And there's something so special about the laughter and warmth of hearing your family, or even if it's not your family, just having, just being around that. It's such a wonderful thing. And so when it's talking about being a warrior here, it's talking about being a different kind of warrior, not the kind
mm-hmm.
where you fight with swords, but maybe fighting for peace by being kind, by just through your songs, and be the change that you want to see, kind of thing. A warrior
mm-hmm.
in a different way, in a calmer way. This makes me think about a few weeks ago, G.A. Grimm wrote something for one of my contests, and it was about the difference between him and his brother. And his brother was a warrior, as in he was always getting in fights and was very an aggressive kind of warrior and defended himself in that way, and that's how he survived their tough childhood, whereas he took things differently. He changed things with his mind and with his kindness, and he just adjusted things, and he moved on, and he fought their trauma by making a new life for himself and moving on and not needing revenge. And in his, I think he said that he was the warrior because he fought for a new life, and his brother was stuck still fighting the old life, and that they were both warriors in their own way. Now, I'm totally paraphrasing that, and I'm sorry, G.A. Grimm, if you're listening and you're like, that's not what I said. But it kind of stuck with me, that idea of different kinds of warriors. And that's what I see here is the peaceful kind of warrior. I'm fighting for a better life by choosing to have these scenes where we just have fun and play in fields and don't include ourselves in the darker sides of life, getting away from the drama. I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great insight. I always love how Afasiana, you I always makes me very happy when we talk about the brevity in way more words than the brevity actually was. I think that's a good indication of a great brevity. So awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, and you were gonna say something, Ainsley. You got to read it. You did an awesome job. What'd you think?
I was gonna say I loved what you just said. So when I read this, it was really interesting because I think it's so understated, and at the same time, Afasiana, when I read it, I thought it was super interesting because I felt like they're saying that a warrior is someone that isn't afraid, right? And in this way, I will not fear the rain and the dark shadows and the mist. And I love this part, and they say, because it will be replaced by something that's amazing at some point in time. And I was thinking about how it would be so great if we all thought that way when bad things happen. Like, we shouldn't fear it, because at some point, great things will happen, you know. But it was so beautifully put, you know, in a way that it's like maybe a warrior sometimes is somebody that it's like you choose to not overreact. In a situation, or even fight, like you were saying. This isn't about fighting. This is about accepting pain sometimes and knowing that it's going to be replaced at some point by love, you know? I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I just, and the warrior is not a quitter. She softly plays her songs of lyrics. I just thought it was so beautifully said, and like you said, it was alluding to family. And I do think peace. I think so. And inner peace too, in some ways, because they're talking about not being anxious, you know, when bad things happen, and knowing that at some point, you know, good things will be there. It's kind of like having faith, you know, in a way. But I thought it was really beautiful, and it's short, but so much is said, and that's really good writing.
Absolutely, it absolutely is. Cool, thanks, Ainsley. And I think now we're going on to a new prompt, and I just realized, because I'm horrible at spelling, I might have when I type the prompt in this contest, I might have made a spelling mistake. I'm going to let Afasiana correct me if that's true. Barley, did I do that wrong?
No, that looks right.
Oh, it is? Okay. I can't spell right. I looked at it. I thought it was I'm so horrible at it. All right. Anyway, sorry. Interrupting.
I mean, Canadian spelling, we tend to add E's and U's to everything, so maybe it's wrong for you, but it looks right for me.
Oh, okay. I think I just copied it, so I just, for some reason, just now, it's also late for me, and I've had 2 glasses of wine, so I might be seeing things wrong at this point in the night, so.
I'm going to say it's in your head.
There's so much wrong in my head, let me tell you. So that's probably, you probably could. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
It's funny how the truth, it lies awake at night. And oh, you did do that wrong. I thought you were trying to spell barley. No, it's reversed. Okay. I see what you mean now.
Sorry.
All right. I thought you were trying to do barley because I was only focused on that word. It's funny how the truth it lies awake at night and barely sleeps until it speaks. And prompt. Okay, yes, you wrote barley.
apologize, contest entries, and to the artist that's on the show that I messed up your lyrics. So apologize for that. Thank you for reading it. Thank you for reading it correctly, Afasiana. I'm duly shamed, and I'm going to go hide my head now.
All right. Uh-oh. Well, I'm going to read this next poem while you get your head together.
Here we go.
Chain of Dominoes by Zara H. I came to a custom where I peel myself out of this body, then levitate, gliding in and out of the fog. There, lying under wreckage, pile of wrinkled sheets, letters that were written and rewritten 1,000 times. how I felt, language less than adequate to convey what I truly discern, letters begging for approval, beats scatter like a chain of dominoes. I've never sought romance. You just happened to happen. I don't know if you were seated within before I was born. Surely you're flourishing. But every root spread is a chain. Guess I've never meant to be free. In truth, I don't want to. Know this. I have eyes to see the world, but your eyes are my gate to Eden. Cliche, I know. Yet there is no other way to explain the amount of blessings. I might be a code in your list, though you are my dictionary. Through you, I define life, a poem that only compile when written in your language. End poem.
Awesome read as always. And I like Zara a lot. She writes for a lot of the contests. And yeah, I was telling Ainsley before that we have such a great international following, a great international group that we have here, and Zara is from Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, I think. So thanks, Zara, for participating. I did like the chain of dominoes. Chain of dominoes is very, very interesting because, you know, I don't know if I'm reading into it too much, but you know, dominoes, you set them up literally to fall, right? Spend mm-hmm. all this time setting things up, and you do everything for the purpose of falling down. And beep scattering, so you can think of someone's heartbeat, right? So to convey, which is she truly discerns letters begging for approval, but then beats. So your heartbeat's scattering like a chain of dominoes. A chain of dominoes is interesting. It's almost like you're wearing it around your neck, so there's something on you that's just constantly falling. I never sought romance. You just happened. You just happened to happen. That's also a really interesting play on, or a really interesting phrase. You know, surely you're flourishing, but every root spread is a chain. So, and that's how love works a lot. You know, I can just use my wife as, I mean, I've been my wife since 1988. So it's all I can remember of known, but I do remember, you know, looking for girlfriends and women, whatever, but I wasn't necessarily, you know, I didn't know I was looking for my wife, and she just kind of happened. You know, we're at college, and we met, and that was it, and we found each other, and I kind of knew it was it, and there you are. So these things do kind of just happen. And where was that other line here? The metaphors of, or the descriptions of, though you're my dictionary, though you, I define, through you, I define life. So in the dictionary, defining life, that's pretty neat. Again, I'm going to guess the phrase. I'm just going to like that line. A poem that I only compile when written in your language. So really, really interesting phrases in here and thoughts. And I loved it, Zara. I thought it was awesome. And Ainsley, how do you think this went to the prompt?
So I thought it was really an interesting this, and I'll be honest, I read this a few times today, and I felt like at the very beginning of the poem, I was trying to figure out if they were trying to say, I've got to go out of my body. Because they're saying I've come to a custom where I peel myself out of this body, then levitate, and I was like, are they meditating? Like, are they almost like, I don't know, what is the word? Oh my gosh, somebody give me the word. Where you
disassociating?
Disassociation. Like, are you disassociating from your body? Because as the poem continues, you know, they're lying under the wreckage, pile of wrinkled sheets, letters that were written and rewritten 1,000 times. To me, it sounded like they're in pain. And so at this point, they've gotten to a place where they're going outside of their body, looking down on what's happening. And in some ways, I wasn't completely clear what they were. I felt, and this is the same thing I've been feeling through a lot of these poems, but that maybe this relational thing that they're alluding to maybe isn't that good. you know, letters that were written and rewritten 1,000 times, that's normally either someone isn't reading the letters or you're having a hard time explaining what you mean to the person, you know. The communication is not working. Maybe that's a good way to put it. So, and how I felt, language less than adequate to convey what I truly discern. Letters begging for approval, you know, beats scatter like a chain of dominoes. So this is one of those things where it's like you really, really need something from someone and you're not getting it, or you're not getting through, you're not communicating well. And I do think that we all do this, but you get to a point sometimes where you stop caring. And I sort of felt like in some ways maybe I'm not really sure, but like I'm not really sure what the whole poem is supposed to be saying, but it did make me feel that, right? Like maybe you kind of have to go outside of your body because you get to a point where you're not able to communicate the way that you want to. Because it's, you know, the truth, it lies awake at night and barely sleeps until it speaks. So maybe that's what they're trying to communicate, you know? I'm at the point where I'm disassociating because I can't get through to you, you know? So yeah. I guess that's kind of how I see it.
Excellent, excellent. Great comments. I got to tell you. Go ahead, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I thought it was really good, but at the same, and I also really felt it, so I'm not saying I didn't feel it. I don't completely understand everything that was written, but I like that. What they alluded to in the poem made me feel, I think, it made me feel how they wanted me to. So, yeah, that's all I was going to say.
Yeah, no, I think you're doing I think you're doing an awesome job interpreting these poems. You fit right in with these with this group here. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but you fit right in with us here, Ainsley. So
great
job.
Thing.
There you go. It's a great thing. And if you're looking for a word, that's why we keep a librarian around, right? So librarian, what did
yes.
you think?
I mean, I don't know all things, but I know how to find them. I need a minute
go,
of that. All right, so I'm going to jump in now. I agree with Ainsley that I thought of disassociation when I was reading the first thing. I mean, out of your body, feeling like you're levitating, in and out of the fog, that's sounds like disassociation to me. Been there, done that, hated it. So I think also calling it like the wreckage under the wrinkled sheets. Absolutely, when you feel like your life is falling apart, you do tend to stay in bed a little bit too much, and those sheets haven't been changed in a while, and you've been tossing and turning. So the wrinkled sheets can say a lot. And those letters that were written 1,000 times, it's like you're trying to get those feelings out, and it's not helpful. Whether you can't give it to them or you're afraid to give it to them and you're obsessing over those words, you know, it's never a good sign when you have to rewrite it 1,000 times. And then something about the next stanza really reminded me of Emily Dickinson. And particularly, there was this TV show, Dickinson, like last year, I think, on Apple TV, and I really enjoyed it. And it had Emily and Sue had quite a relationship. And that was always kind of up for debate historically if they were lesbians. And in the show, they are, although it's mostly unrequited, or that they don't actually get to be together. But the thing is, when Emily talks about Sue, she often talks about how there's no words for the things that she's feeling because it wasn't something that was talked about. And so she doesn't know how to, like, express what she's noticing about herself and how to talk to Sue about it. So when it says language is less than adequate, it just reminded me of the narration of that show when Emily Dickinson was trying to figure out a way that she could write the letters that she wanted to write, because she was writing a lot of letters to Sue. And in real life, they did find a trunk full of letters that she had written to Sue, and they were in Emily's room, so it's not clear about if they were ever actually sent to Sue. Okay, so tangent over about Emily Dickinson. But this brought up a lot for me, and I like when a poem does that. I kind of get off on a little tangent for each stanza. They're all cohesive. They work together, but each one of them sends my mind off in different directions. There was some really interesting spacing, and I couldn't tell for sure if it was on purpose or if it was just a spacing issue. But, for example, letters begging for approval. Letters begging then has, like, at least two extra spaces before for, the word for, and then an extra space again before approval. So it's letters begging for approval. It seems like that space might be intentional, but then it happens again later. Can't find that spot, but as I was reading it, I noticed there were a few times where there's kind of a strange amount of space between letters or between words, and sometimes that's to signify the importance of a certain section. So that's an interesting technique to use, where it naturally makes the reader pause and consider something about that sentence and if there was something special about it that we needed to know. And Dan, you know me well to know that I would love that dictionary line. You are my dictionary, through you I define life. I love that line. And the idea that, like, your language and your perspective and your concept of everything is happening through that person's lens. They make up the little bits that your life is written in. That's really interesting. I loved it. Dan, back to you.
Cool, yeah. Back to me. I think back to you. Because we got the prompt, right? And do we have an audio prompt come up?
We do. So this is prompt 3. And I can tell you sent me messages, but I have not had a chance to read them yet. So I'm just going to play prompt 3. here we go.
Thank you.
awesome tune. I love that one. I wish I wasn't listening to it on my phone because it sounds so cool, you know, I listen to it on great headphones. But no matter what, it sounded great. And I can't get enough of that bridge after the solo. It's just, it's the first time I heard it, it took me by surprise, but in just such a great way. It's so avant-garde, almost fusion-like, and I just love it to pieces. It's my favorite part of the – so it's one of my favorite things you've ever done, actually, is that bridge at the end.
Thank you.
So, I think it's just amazing. That sounds like – you want to tell us about that song? That song, to me, sounds like one that you did all by yourself. It sounds like a drum machine, and did you play all the parts on that?
Uh-huh, I did, and I – it's a funny song because I was trying to learn how to use recording software, and I wasn't in the best relationship at the time. And I, like, holed up in my basement for 2 months, like, in the summer. So I teach piano during the year. And I recorded and re-recorded that song. And literally, I do get like this, and I think everybody does when you're, you know, when you're working on something. Like, I didn't do anything else. That's the only thing I did. And actually, when I recorded that, we didn't even go through all the different parts that I'd written, but my mom actually heard that song, and she hasn't always loved everything I've done, but, like, the instrumental that I recorded myself, I took so much time. I was like, it's not going to clip, you know? And then you get in the car and you, like, play the CD and it clips. And you go back inside and you do it again. You know, she actually loved it. And she was like, this is, like, a really cool piece. And I had, like, a billion pianos on it. And, I, you know, in some ways I kind of imagined, and it is, like, the title is Spiderwebs, but it almost sounds like to me now, it's like a boat on the ocean that's kind of getting tossed in a storm. It's kind of a battle, you know, maybe with nature or maybe with even in your own mind, but that's the way that it felt for me. And it's kind of like those spider webs that we sort of make in our own lives that make things unclear, you know, and then it's a situation that's kind of hard to get out of. That's how the song feels to me. And I've had lyrics to it, but in some ways I love it without, because I feel like you can paint your own picture when you hear it.
I totally agree with that. I love it as an instrumental. I think, I mean, I can't get enough of you singing, but I also love this as an instrumental too. So I you know, you're an amazing singer. Your voice just, it's so emotive. So I certainly wanted to, you know, highlight your vocals on this, but I just really like the song, and I always love it when people one of the last piano players that we did on this show was all instrumental, and it was really cool just to see people interpret instrumentals into poetry. I thought it was good, so I thought it'd be interesting to put this on, and I do love that tune. So that's great. I really like this one a lot. I really do, and we got a couple
Thank
of poems.
You.
Absolutely. So like I said, that bridge part right after the solo is just a stroke of genius.
Thank you.
I think we got a couple of – absolutely. I think we got a couple of poems that came out of this one, right, Fizzy?
We did, and I think it's your turn to read, Dan, if you'll read the one by Lockdown Larks.
At your service, my job is to do your bidding, so let's go here and see what you do. I mean that in a completely respectful, positive way, of course. So lockdown love, a spider's song. You feel the chains of steel. Let me spin a tale of escape. Just let your spirit feel, and your future I will shape. No, I am no brick wall. Let me say how much I care. I am a spider after all. Trust in me, and I'll be there. Into my web, come and dance. Do you sense a tingling? Be a shimmer of romance, silky smooth is my singing. No reason to be afraid, listen to my silky thread. You will not be betrayed, just fly beyond your dread. Very soon, we could be one. There is little more to say, and once this web is spun, join the hypocrisy of today. My web, come and dance. Do you sense a tingling? Be a shimmer of romance, silky smooth is my singing. And so to the web of time, a spider cannot make it. Could it be aching or sublime? We must find a chance and take it. Don't listen to the spin. Look for what is real. And glisten from within to break the chains of steel. Go into the web and dance and sense the tingling. Love life and take the chance. Silky smooth will be your singing. End poem.
Great read, Dan. I like the idea of it using the web outside of a web. It works in multiple ways. So the chains can be web-like. The spinning a tail is, you know, kind of like making the web of the story. There are different ways of taking that web. And I like the idea of shaping your future by twisting that web into the story you want. Now, there's something threatening about saying, I am a spider after all, because spiders are very predatory. Those webs aren't just pretty, they are traps. And so when someone admits they are a spider, it's a challenge. That invitation to dance on their particular sticky dance floor is frightening. Silky smooth is my singing. Web looks like it would be silky smooth, but it is not, generally. Mm. And then something about like the way that he's trying to lure the reader in, or the person in the story. It seems like a smooth talking guy who's bringing you down that dark alley that is not so safe. The web of time is brought in there, and I can't help but think of like the internet and the getting what is the word for it, where someone pretends to be someone that they're not. I'm going blank. Catfish, yes, thank you. that's what I was going for. Catfish, where someone draws you in, makes you think that you're going to meet someone who is appealing, and then it is not who you are expecting. This spider seems like that way. And I'm talking about it as in the narrator, not the poet. Lockdown Larks is a good guy from what I've seen. But this spider, I don't trust. What did you think of it, Ainsley?
I think I felt pretty close to what you did. I wasn't sure. And you know what? Maybe I wasn't quite with it this morning when I was reading through these. And I had read them before this, but this morning I was really looking at them. It made me feel super suspicious. So it probably gave me all of the right feelings that someone's supposed to have when they read it. I feel like in some ways maybe they're trying to take on the, you know, oh my gosh, the character of the spider, like what the spider would actually say and make you feel. Because there's a little bit of a feeling of like, you really distrust what's being said when somebody tells you that they're a spider, right? So I mean, I thought it was interesting because if it's coming off of that prompt of the song, then I guess it's going into the spider's mind and just sort of writing the way that you would be, that would make you interested in falling into their web, I guess. So I think it was really well done. Go into the web and dance and sense the tingling. Love life and take the chance. Silky smooth will be your singing. So that last line, I was like, it's kind of haunting and it's a little scary because that's true. You don't follow anybody who doesn't give you words that make you feel affirmed, even if they're lying to you, right? So I thought that was a really scary last line, to be quite honest. And you know, it's repeated, what, twice? Three times. So Silky Smooth is my scene, but that's the truth for any lie that you end up going into, right? It's like you start to believe it feels smooth and it feels beautiful, but it's the exact opposite, right? I thought it was done really well.
Yes, I agree.
Cool.
And I don't trust people who are too smooth.
Me neither. It's always better if they're a little bit rough around the edges. You know,
yes, if you know what to expect, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Dan, would you like to comment?
Yes, I would love to. And Lockdown Lark, in his humor, which he's a funny guy, and in his author's notes, he says, "And if you substitute politician for spider, it might make more sense." So that's kind of funny. And there you go. That's what he was going for. Exactly what you ladies were saying was, you know, the spinning the web and kind of enticing you and getting you in, right? But I thought it was interesting, and I thought it was actually almost kind of fun where he was playing with the spider. It's a spider song, but making it, you know, like he said with the politician, almost explaining, you know, the spider's almost explaining what he's going to do to the fly, right? Where was the part about the fly? I think I missed it. But anyway, he's almost explaining that, like, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to entice you. But at the end, I took the end as more like a cautionary tale, and I liked it. Don't listen to the spin. Look for what's real and glisten from within to break the chains of steel. Go into the web and dance, a sense of singling. Love life. Take a chance. Silky Smooth will be your singing. So I almost thought he was saying, like, you know, take the chance anyway. Don't listen to the spin, right, as the politician he was saying. Don't listen to what the spider web, so the spinning of the web is almost like spinning of lies. Don't listen to it. Listen to what's actually within somebody. Listen to what's inside somebody instead, and then you can break those chains and you know, Silky Smooth will be your singing. So I thought that was really, really fun, and the rhyming is great. This is another one that I think is really taking – and being inspired just musically. And this one, the rhyming was good, and this could actually be almost a nursery rhyme, or almost like an adult, you know, parable. I took it as so. So fun. Locked On Larks. We love you. Keep writing for us. Excellent job. All right, Aphasiana, our lives are in your hands. What do we do now?
Too much power. I'm a bit of a spider. Are you sure you want to do that?
There you go, yeah.
I put up one by Sarah Evans called Silk Threads. Ainsley, would you like to read that one?
Yes, and I am going to the link. Silk Threads, yes. Okay, dangling by a thread, young fingers host an insight into nature. Silk spinning for delight launched from knuckle mountains and webbed valleys, clambered energy and changeovers. Music charged atmosphere blowing away cobwebs and combining the power of eight legs in octaves, scaling the heights.
Excellent read. And really interesting. I'm going to hit follow for Sarah Evans right now and check out more of her poetry, because this is really, really, she took this to a really good place. And again, I love, you know, getting into music. So, you know, directly talking about the music and probably what you can feel from music. So music charged atmosphere blowing away cobwebs. That's a really great metaphor for music. I've said before that one of my favorite definitions of music was something that a college professor told me before, was music is, because you hear music as, you know, thinking about the notes and harmonies and rhythm and melodies, and he simply said music is the combination of sound and silence. And I always thought, that's I always love that definition, because that means everything is music. But I also like this one too, I have to say. Music charged atmosphere blowing away cobwebs. I'm just taking that little phrase by itself. I don't know if that's the way you meant it, Sarah, but, you know, music is all the atmosphere. I mean, if you want to think of it physically, as physics, it's just vibrating atoms in the air, right? That's all it really is. So a charged atmosphere, describing it like that, I thought was great. And blowing away the cobwebs, it, you know, it could actually do it if the music's that loud. It can actually move, physically move things, but also it can just wake you up and it can kind of get you going. And then the eight legs as the octave was very interesting as well, too. And then scaling the heights, the little play on words for scales, where you're scaling the heights. So I thought she really had a fun just kind of play with words and playing around with, you know, a nice little brevity to just kind of, you know, talk about an instrumental that we have here. So a very, very interesting, Sarah. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very cool. And we'll go to Fazy first. Since Ainsley got to read it, we'll see what Fazy thinks first. What did you think of Fazy?
All right. I also liked that part, music charged atmosphere, blowing away the cobwebs. Because music can do that in a lot of ways. It can help clarify your thinking. I know that there are like whole playlists on like for studying or for concentrating or for writing. Like there's music that helps you focus and gets rid of those cobwebs. There's music that brushes off the cobwebs of your memories because it brings up the past songs that are connected to certain memories. It blows away the cobwebs in that it makes you feel things that maybe you have been repressing. There are so many different ways that music can get rid of those cobwebs. So I like that it combined that. And then using the eight legs to talk about an octave is great too. And like you pointed out, Dan, scaling the heights, the wordplay on scaling is clever. So I feel like Sarah Evans knows music and how to play with that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had a lot of I didn't tell you this, Ainsley, before, but I had a lot of compliments on your music. I had probably half of the people that wrote me back and said that. In fact, I put one of the comments on your profile here, but they really got into the music. They all said they all had compliments like, "Wow, this is great music. I really like her voice." So people got into the music, and I can tell by the poetry, you know, that they're really enjoying it and kind of being able to feel that music. So we got a lot of great compliments. But anyway, you got to read it. So what'd you think?
I appreciate that so much. And actually, it's funny, but this one poem really, I felt like what they were feeling really was, it's not in the middle, but sort of right at the beginning where it's silk spinning for delight launched from knuckles or from knuckle. I felt like in a lot of ways what they're trying to say is that they actually heard me playing the song, and it kind of spun all of the ideas and everything else that they say next, where mountains and webbed valleys clambered energy and changeovers. I could feel that. It was like I wondered if they were listening to the song and just literally having, you know, free writing where just you kind of like write down whatever comes into your mind. In some ways, I think this might have been the most true to my music, like this poem of all the other songs or all the other poems, because they're saying from knuckle, which would be like my knuckles playing this part on the piano, mountains and webbed valleys and clamber energy and changeovers. And I, music charged, atmosphere blowing, you know, I felt like this was really about me playing the piano and how you can paint scenery with the sound, right?
Yep.
So I thought it was really cool because I felt like if they had been sitting in the room with me and I had been playing and I had read what I would have been like, what's like, you know, I don't know. I felt like it really did come from what they actually heard in the music. So, and that's what they're saying, I think. The knuckle paints the mountains and webbed valleys, but it's the knuckles on the keys moving, right? But it was cool. Really cool.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, she on her email to me, she just simply said the music was very inspirational. Ains was very, very talented. Thanks for the contest. So I got a lot of compliments like that, which is cool. And speaking of, Mammy Ara is actually still in
too.
The. Yeah. Yes. She is. She is. Both of you are absolutely. Yeah. And speaking of talent, Mammy Ara is actually in the still in the chat. She's been doing stuff and listening to our poetry. So over in the Philippines, I believe. Thanks, Mammy Ara, for continuing to listen and say hi to us in the chat. So cool. So is that where we're going next? Where are we going, Daisy?
Yes. So we're on to the next prompt. Prompt 4 is smoking and broken down, reaching to pull you out. I found our love does not exist, which is from the song Goodbye. And Mamya provided us with an audio, which is always exciting to hear in her own voice. So to our listeners, if you are writing for us, we love to hear things in your own voice. If you can't call in, make us a recording. Okay, so let me find Mamya here. There it is. All right. This poem is by Mamya.
Escape from Sophia. The deep waters call out to me. The fickle wind wafting her cologne Circe musk scent, bringing back Sophia memories I'd rather forget. The sky, pregnant and heavy, petrichor now cloaking everything. I wait for her tears to fall upon me, embracing me as you never embraced me. A winning smile flashes in memory, crinkled eyes that hid a myriad lies. Broken promises ring false in my ears, blinding myself by my hands. Thunder brings me back to shore, where I stand transfixed, drowning in the phantasm you left behind in your wake. The tempest dances around me, carrying me in its wings. I soar into its eye, leaving only a shell behind, upwards towards the towering nebula, surrounded by novas and black holes. Here I will stay, a speck among giants, to slumber in the darkness.
Well, that was beautiful, Mamya. Thank you so much for the audio. You got your special effects in there with the storm. Like that. I like that you bring in different senses. You have the smells of the cologne, the musky scent. It engages all of us. There's the sound of the thunder you're talking about. There's the just everything. You can feel it. You can smell it. You can hear it. I love that you're engaging our senses. Also, petrichor is one of my favorite words, so I like that you're using that. It's just so fun when people have amazing vocabularies, which you do. I love that. And then here, where am I? I feel the disassociation here as you're leaving only a shell behind. It's like your body is left behind and your brain is up in the stars. You're just letting your mind go and you're going to stay outside of that, the troubles that were down on Earth there. A slumber in the darkness. You just want to let go of things. I do like when the thunder brings you back to the shore, because it's one of those things, when you're lost in thought, sometimes a loud noise or something jolts you back into the moment. It can be grounding when there's a particularly disrupting thing like thunder. It makes you realize where you are and sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes maybe not. Maybe you wanted to be in a memory, but it sounds like this was a bad memory, the lies and the falseness of it all. And when you say blinding myself, it's kind of it makes me think about where you know the person is bad for you. You can tell that smile that is charming has something behind it, but sometimes we want to believe what we know is a lie. We want to be loved by that person who maybe doesn't really love us. We want to be able to trust someone who we shouldn't. So blinding myself by my hand, choosing not to see what is right in front of you because you want to hang on a little bit longer to the fantasy. I don't know if that's actually what you're going for, but that's what I got out of it, and I thought it was really well done. Mm-hmm. Ainsley, would you like to comment?
So, you know, it's funny what you learn as you get older. this song, the song that this prompt is taken out of, when I hear it now, it really does mean a completely different thing to me. I don't think I understood a lot of what happened to me. And it did come from a relationship that it was just never enough. You know, it was, you get run dry and you don't even know what's going on. So when I read this poem, I was like, yeah, this, she really understands. Like, it really is a lot of times when you are in a relationship, it's amazing how much we can deceive ourselves into believing that something is good and working when it's not. And this really did say kind of some of the same lines, but a winning smile flashes in the memory. You know, a lot of times we really are taken by things that are fleeting and they're transient and they're not going to stand the test of time, and they're not necessarily going to give us anything beneficial in our life. Crinkled eyes that hid a myriad lies. And I thought of, like, Richard Gere. Like, I'm not going to lie. Because I was like, crinkled eyes. I remember my really good friend telling me that she just loved it. Like, when broken promises ring false in my ears, blinding myself by my hand. Because normally it is, like, actually by our own hands that we die, right? We pick, like, which way we want to go, and we sort of delude ourselves to that end. So I thought this was really well said. What she's saying here in this poem is exactly what the prompt was about. So I really did feel, I felt this. I think at the end, in some ways, she's almost tapping out of, like, consciousness on Earth, you know, upwards towards nebula, surrounded by novas and black holes. I could take this in a lot of different ways. Here I will stay, a speck among giants to slumber in the darkness. It's like, it's almost just too much to be alive in reality. On the earth that we have to live on, I want to go somewhere where my mind is free and I can think without the confines of, like, you know, the relational situations I've gotten into. And I've definitely been at that point too. So yeah, I thought it was really well done.
Excellent. Cool. You ladies kind of stole my thunder on everything, but I'm going to make a couple of quick comments.
Oh, no.
First of all, No, that's a good thing. Stealing the thunder, no pun intended, on the rain and thunder on that Mammy I had on here. But Phantasm, isn't that the second? Didn't we use Phantasmic or something? Isn't that
it's
what you guys commented
time.
On before? So, oh, it was the third time. So, hey, there's got to be something about your music that's bringing that word out. It's very, very interesting that came out on multiple ones. The other thing I want to comment on is Sepia Memories. I just think the title, you know, I will give, this is the comment I'm going to give to Mamya, is that she might be the most inspirational poet on here for myself. Every time I read something for her, something really, really inspires me. And a lot of times it's the layers that she does, but she's one of my, she might be the poet on here that inspires me the most. And sepia memories, I thought it was just so interesting. I know it's a color, and I just looked it up again while we were reading it, and it's just this bland kind of brownish, just nothing color, and describing memories as that. And sepia is such an interesting word because I think it's, we were talking about words today. I think it's a beautiful word, sepia, a beautiful word for this horrible color. And just calling it sepia memories, I thought was a great title, and that's what really inspired me, Mamia. So cool. And I just want to say about the song Goodbye, everybody who's listening should go listen to the song Goodbye by Ainsley McGray. I think the whole song is great, but the last minute is just pure genius. Tell me some other song that is not written as well as the last minute of this song. It is just filled with these melodies, these haunting melodies of vocals that Ainsley does kind of intertwining with each other that, like I said, is just pure genius and just so beautiful. So, Ainsley, that's an amazing song
that you
wrote. That last minute is just so perfect.
So, Dan, cool. When you're talking about sepia memories and you're looking up the color of sepia, so sepia is often a filter you can use on pictures because it's what it was like with old pictures. Old pictures tend to kind of have a sepia tint to it. Like all my mom's pictures from her childhood have like that weird kind of sepia. I don't know if it's because they're so old that they've degraded or if it's just because of the type of film they had. But now you can often in like technology things choose sepia filter and it makes it look like things are from like the 60s, 70s, 80s. And it's just, with the adding that color to things somehow makes it feel like the past. So there's a nostalgia to images that have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. That's Mamia, right? Different levels on it. So I took it as a color, but sepia memories from that way is very interesting too. Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that, but that's interesting. Thank you, Daisy. All right, we have, believe it or not, we're getting towards the end of the show. I'm getting sad. We got 10 minutes left, so what do we want to do? What's going on with our lives here?
We have two more that are for that same prompt, and I want to try to get those in.
Okay.
So,
should we have our guest read a couple more to?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Here's a brevity for you. Whenever I think of you. So go ahead and read that, Ainsley, when you're ready.
Okay, trembling like I'm in the mountains of Siberia, sweating like I'm in the deserts of Arabia. Whenever I think of you, I'm driven into a tide of hysteria. So, all right. And I was going to say this, too. I do think that the end of Goodbye, I'm feeling it right now, and I'm not sure. Maybe they wrote this at the end of the song. Trembling like I'm in the mountains of Siberia, sweating like I'm in the deserts of Arabia. Whenever I think of you, I'm driven into a tide of hysteria. We all know that feeling when someone has completely moved our heart and soul into a place where you can't even imagine going on without that person in your life. And actually, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe not everybody knows that feeling. But I think maybe we don't want to, or maybe we don't want to, but this sounds like, you know, there's a little bit of mania going on, which I can definitely relate to. But it's like that person has such an effect on you that every time that you think of them, you know, there's a certain level of hysteria and, you know, it's like obviously everything in this rhymes, but I think we get the point. You know, this person is going to have an effect on you, maybe even 20 years down the road if you happen to run into them at a 7-Eleven. You might feel the same way that you did, you know, and maybe you're hoping that doesn't happen. So I felt like it was really well written, and it was super impactful. Because it's basically saying you have a certain amount of power over me. You know, however I felt about you or however much I loved you, you know, it was this way. And I felt like this was really well done on the prompt of goodbye, because in that song, I was like, no matter what, I can't tell this person goodbye. And that's exactly how I felt. You know, this person has so much power over me. There's no way to walk away. There's no way to win. And in some ways, there's no way to lose. You know, when someone affects you that much, they change your life forever. And it, so this poem really does bring it home in a nutshell. Without the music and without anything else, it's like you're going to be affected to a certain degree no matter what. So I think it's great. I think it's, I can feel it. So it's powerful.
Great. Well, it must be, because, I mean, like, the, like Dan was saying before, sometimes the brevity can get us talking more than the length of the poem, and I think it had enough of an impact that we can't help but talk about it more, and I think that's pretty cool. The comparison of, like, the impact that, like, you're in the extreme cold or the extreme heat, this person brings you to extremes. You can't help but be in a sort of shock, driven into hysteria because there's such powerful emotion. That's pretty intense. Dan, what did you think?
Agreed 100%. And I mean, I can't. How can you not love rhyming Siberia, Arabia, and hysteria? That's one of my favorite things. Right, Siberia. I mean, that's again inspirational to me. Like rhyming those two countries is pretty cool. And you know, you can take this so many different ways, because I'm driven into a side of hysteria, and she's talking, he or she is talking about a relationship, and it could be either good, it could be bad, right? So this could be taken like, they're really upsetting me, I hate being around this person, or it could also be, I'm just madly in love and lust with this person, and this is how they make me feel. And I always describe us as chemistry. Which is I think what we are. I think we're just a bunch of chemicals. we're all chemistry. And when two people get together, that can be like, you know, chemicals that shouldn't be together, or it could be ones that actually are made to be together. And you know, so driven into that tide of hysteria. Tide of hysteria is also an interesting way to put it as well. So you're at 70. Thanks a lot. Very much. All right, we got 6 minutes left, and we got one more poem, I think.
All right. Dan, I kind of think you should read this one. It just has a Daniel vibe.
Hey, sure. I love Chris Terrist. I will absolutely do that. And this one got the bronze. I hope if we read the silver and didn't comment on that, I apologize for that. But this one got the bronze, so by Chris Terrist. Let's do it. Chewing on cigarette ends. The ashtray next to my bed is overflowing. I reached out for you in the moonlight and grasped twisted sheets, sweat stained. I reached for the phone, but your line's dead like the blue. Forget-me-nots replanted. I reached out for a sleeping pill and clutched a grubby stub. The brown medicine bottle is empty. My orange blossom tea is gone cold, tastes sour. Our tangled letters clasped. Where your lightning bolt zipped up my breast line, now metal teeth shear our fabric. My heart slowly unpicks and our ash tumbles to the floor. End the poem.
Excellent read. I had a feeling that was one for you.
This is
really good imagery there with the way that things just aren't quite working out. The sweat-stained sheets, the bottle that's empty, there's the tea that's gone cold. It's like time has passed that is surprising. Sometimes you get lost in time when you're depressed or when something's going on. You kind of lose track of time as you've lost someone and you're still imagining them there, and that you can tell this person's been in bed too long. Like before there was the wrinkled sheets and now there's the twisted sheets. Mm-hmm. Everything's gone cold and empty, and like how long has it been since I went out in the world? Not really sure. The line's dead. Everything's like cut off. where your lightning bolt zipped up my breast line. That's interesting. Now, metal teeth shear our fabric. Really unusual and well done imagery with that. And then again, there's that the ash that tumbles to the floor. I'm not a smoker, but I can just picture the ash falling and how that represents the way that they've disintegrated. Their relationship has come apart. Really cool. Ainsley, what did you think?
Oh, I felt this one. And I felt it too. I have said this. I haven't listened to these songs that I've written in a long time. And I think, actually, Goodbye, the whole album might be something that has really, it's in my mind a lot these days. And so when I read this, you know, when you say goodbye to something, and you don't always necessarily do it the way that you want to, sometimes it's forced, sometimes the other person says it first. This was really chilling with the imagery that's created. You know, chewing on cigarette ends, like nobody wants to do that, even if you are a smoker. And she's like, you know, I reached out for you in the moonlight and grasped twisted sheets, you know, like no one's there. Like I reached for the phone, but your line's dead, like the blue forget-me-nots we planted. So like the flowers have died, you know, the line is dead. It's like everything is done. And then I reached out for a sleeping pill and clutched a grubby stub. The brown medicine bottle is empty. So this is like everything is going, it's not even that everything's going wrong. Everything is dying, you know. And for me, when I read it, I was like, I felt like she really understood. This is maybe even a little bit past goodbye. It's like, I did really love this line, though. I reached for the phone, but your line said, like the blue forget-me-nots we planted. It was like, I wasn't expecting the end of that. And then I was like, oh. And then I think for me, when we got down to the bottom where it's like where your lightning bolt zipped up my breast line, I had a really weird thought there. And it was like, it was more like, at some point in time, like everything was working and everything was maybe even in a manic state of being really amazing. And now it's metal teeth shearing our fabric and my heart slowly unpicks and our ash tumbles to the floor. So like there was a moment
Ainsley,
in time.
I hate to cut you off, but we're actually out of time.
Oh my gosh.
So I want to kind of wrap it up. Yeah, believe it or not, we made it through the 2 hours. So what we're going to do is we have we didn't get to do two of the prompts. We'll do them on the next show, and you're obviously invited back for that if you'd love to come and comment. We'll play Dream Again as our opening song. That was one of the prompts, and then we'll do the other ones. But we so appreciate you coming on. It was an amazing show. We had so much fun. And Faziana, anything you want to say, or Ainsley, anything you want to say before we go?
Well, just thank you so much for being here, Ainsley. Thank you, Dan, for finding her and these wonderful prompts. And I appreciate everybody who wrote for the contest. I'm actually going to be away for the next show, but I will find a replacement to hang out with Dan, and I'll be back. I'll be back.
It was so nice to meet you.
You too. Yes. Well, now that you're on All Poetry, I can connect again too.
That?
So that's cool. Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. Good night,
everyone.
Everybody.
Take care.